640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. We begin this morning with good news. An agreement on raising the nation's debt ceiling seems to be getting closer by the day.
Progress in Washington after yet another White House sit-down on the debt ceiling.
What changed in this meeting was the president has now selected two people from his administration to directly negotiate with us.
But still, no deal on raising the nation's borrowing limit, with the Treasury saying there are just 15 days before the nation runs out of money to pay its bills.
CBS's Jared Hill. The Republican-dominated North Carolina House of Representatives yesterday joined the state Senate in overriding the Democratic governor's veto of an abortion bill. That bill bans abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Democratic State Representative Diamond Staten Williams.
When I read this language of Senate Bill 20, all I see is the removal of the God-given right for myself and folks like me to make decisions for ourselves.
Williams said she had ended unviable pregnancies after having already had two children. Missouri's attorney general has withdrawn proposed limits on treatment for transgender people, says CBS's Matt Piper.
The rule would have required adults and children to undergo more than a year of therapy and fulfill other requirements before they could receive gender-affirming treatments like hormones and surgery. While Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey pulled the rule, it's likely trans minors will soon be barred from accessing hormones and other treatment. The Republican-controlled state legislature just this month passed a bill that prohibits gender-affirming treatment for minors, and the Republican governor is expected to sign it.
Artificial intelligence could make for a tough election year, says the former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt.
We're going to have just a miserable 2024. In 2024, we have major and significant elections around the world, especially in India and the United States and in Europe, and all of them are going to be flooded with extremely inexpensive, very easy to produce misinformation.
Schmidt spoke to the BBC. Police in Farmington, New Mexico, say the man who shot and killed three elderly women was a high school senior. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
The county sheriff says four officers fired a total of 16 rounds at the suspect, who died during the rampage. Jeffrey Clark was in his garage when the shots rang out.
Peeked around the corner and saw him standing there. I didn't stay there very long because I knew they'd be a target.
As the community looks for answers, three high school graduations are scheduled for this week. All will have an increased police presence.
50 years ago today, a special Senate committee began its nationally televised hearings into the Watergate scandal. Dow futures up 107 points. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Hey, all you vintage vixens, rockabilly rebels, and cool cats. Find the retro-inspired fashion you're looking for in South Milwaukee at Hollyville. This one-woman small business is known for creating many one-of-a-kind looks reminiscent of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and sourcing out to other retro clothing brands from around the world. It's where vintage meets modern. Hollyville, 916 Milwaukee Avenue, South Milwaukee. 414-220-0055. That's 414-220-0055. Or log on to hollyville.com.
The four most dreaded words. My computer is down. Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC and Pat Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCandPat.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Images are everywhere, on iPads, cell phones, or the cloud. In fact, everywhere but where you can find them. Mike Crivello Camera and Imaging Center has the solution to this problem. They're called pictures, and we print them right from our website. And you order them online at MikeCrivello's.com. And they look magnificent in your photo album.
Mike Crivello's world is a wonderful world of camera.
It's not a picture till it's printed.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
Celebrate Wisconsin Day in Chicago this Wednesday the 17th, presented by Visit Milwaukee at Union Station, featuring a beer garden, food beverages, and entertainment from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. Check out the Spring Sustainable Food Series on Thursday the 18th, presented by Urban Ecology Center at Riverside Park. It's free and runs from 6 until 8 p.m. See the contenders at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center in Brookfield on Friday the 19th. Call 262-781-9520 for tickets. On Saturday the 20th, enjoy the Armed Forces Day celebration at the Harley-Davidson Museum from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. And finally, enjoy Caribbean food and tropical drinks and music at Afro-Sosh Brunch this Sunday the 21st from 1 until 5 p.m. That's at North Water Street in Milwaukee.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kiner, at info@civicmedia.us.
North Shore Healthcare is hiring. As the largest provider of post-acute care in Wisconsin, they offer skilled nursing and assisted living services, as well as home health and hospice care through North Shore at Home. They're looking for compassionate individuals who want to make a difference in the lives of those they serve. If you're a CNA, licensed nurse, administrator, or business professional and want to grow your career, visit nshorehc.com/careers to find out why North Shore Healthcare is the right choice for you.
This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It is May 17th, 2023, and coming up this hour, State Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard will talk about her grassroots tour of Wisconsin, making the case that prohibition didn't work for alcohol and it's not working for marijuana either. So we will hear from Senator Agard coming up at the bottom of this hour, and then we will wrap up the hour talking to Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show, heard next on many of these civic media radio stations. If you'd like to join us during the hour, 844-967-2789 is the phone number. You can also reach us radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Now, before we get to the interview that I taped yesterday with Senator Agard, we'll get you to current events in terms of the legislature and what's happening over in the assembly in another part of the state capitol, where today the assembly will convene and will vote on a Republican-authored plan that they like to advertise the first end of it, that it will increase state aid to local governments. State aid to local governments has been flat or declining for a generation now. And apparently they have heard, the Republicans in the legislature have heard enough local governments cry uncle and have said, okay, we will finally, you know, live up to our share of helping fund services around Wisconsin. But then there's the second half of the bill, and that's all the strings that are attached with increased state funding. And here's the thing, the bill isn't done yet. They're still working on it. People involved in the plan are still negotiating privately to try to reach agreement on what all it's going to say. And yet it's scheduled to be considered by the full assembly today and put up for a vote and then put it in the Senate. And if I learned anything from my time in the legislature, it's that people in the Senate and the assembly are not necessarily in lockstep, both Democrats and Republicans. They, all four of those caucuses, if you will, like their autonomy and don't like being dictated. And so it goes to show that Senate Republicans have not necessarily taken what Assembly Republicans have given them and vice versa and simply passed it as is. So if Assembly Republicans are still talking to Senate Republicans, if they're still talking to local officials around the state and trying to figure out what all is going into this thing, if I might bring up a point that I've brought up before and I'm going to bring up about 10 more times, maybe they could just sit down with Governor Evers and say, what can we agree on to increase funding to our local governments who are clamoring for the state to once again pay its fair share for services, and for Republicans in the legislature to frankly get over this attitude that the only thing to do with government is to shrink it, when there is more need than ever for good education, good health care, good roads, protecting our resources, everything else that state and local governments should be doing together. But instead, what we've got going on here is show business. It's just, it's all performative until at some point, the Republican leadership of the legislature sits down with the Democratic governor, hopefully, and they decide what can be passed without necessitating veto threats, veto overrides, delayed budgets. The whole thing is a show that impresses nobody, except maybe some of their big donors who want them to do this little puppet dance for them. Perhaps instead, we could finally get a legislature that would take governing as seriously as it takes politics. But for now, these cash-strapped local governments are going to have to wait and see if the legislature will help them with police services, fire, emergency, pension costs, everything that is needed for you and I to enjoy a certain quality of life at the local level. And for the state to fund a share of it the way that it did for 100 years before making changes once Republicans took over the legislature after the 2010 election. It leads as well to another thing that Republicans messed up from 2011 onward that we'll talk about later this half hour, and that would be passenger rail. There is a new rail plan that has been put out by the State Department of Transportation. It's a rail plan designed to take the state, you know, into the next quarter century. And as we review it, it's simply worth noting that we could have been so much further along right now. Every time you're stuck in a traffic jam in the I-94 corridor near Milwaukee, every time you're in heavy traffic going through St. Croix County on your way to the Twin Cities, keep in mind that a lot of those bodies could have been on a rail car at this point, contributing less pollution, breaking up less of the asphalt, getting things done more efficiently, getting work done on these train cars instead of having to sit behind the wheel. The progress that could have been made here is stupefying, and we're still working on it. We're still working to get things done by 2050 that could have been done by 2020. We'll talk a bit more about that. And then later, Melissa Agard and later Todd Alba all join us. But coming up next, a little bit of sports, a new professional women's soccer team coming to Wisconsin. And we've got your full weatherology forecast for the rest of the week. That's all just ahead on this Wednesday morning here on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Fun on the lake this summer. Treat yourself and find the watercraft you want at Action Boathouse Showroom just south of 59 on 164 in Waukesha. Check out the fun and versatile Sea-Doo Switch with its powerful Rotex Gen engine. Action Boathouse Showroom also has a selection of luxury fishing boats or pontoon boats from seven top USA manufacturers. The team at Action Boathouse Showroom is excited to help you launch into the sun this season and onto the lake. Action Boathouse Showroom, just north of 59 on 164 in Waukesha.
2020. That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot or call us at 262-278-6590.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help.
Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
But let us hope that if a professional women's soccer team comes to Madison, that they don't have as much drama as they would necessarily on Ted Lasso, which I think a new episode is tonight. We were watching last week's episode last night, and I'm not going to agree with the critics who say that they've entirely lost their way. But if we could get back to more of the funny upon which the show was originally based, that would be a big help. But, you know, again, we're still midway through season, we've got to be getting near the end of season three here for folks who are watching that on Apple TV. Anyway, the Milwaukee Brewers were able to pull off a victory 3-2 over the St. Louis Cardinals last night, despite losing their starting pitcher very early on. A lat strain for Wade Miley took him out, and the Brewers relievers had to take it from the second inning onward. They were eventually victorious 3-2, but again, another pitcher having issues for the Brewers. There was, Aaron Ashby is likely out for the season, and Brandon Woodruff isn't expected back from a shoulder injury until midseason. So this particularly stings, but again, there's still plenty of time left in the season, hopefully, to turn things around from a starting pitching perspective. Time for an update on the forecast. A gorgeous day yesterday, all that smoke in the air notwithstanding. A little bit of cooler temps and precipitation might be in the offing before we get the weekend officially going. Jennifer Vachitsky from Weatherology joins us to tell us more about that now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and like you said, a little on the cooler side here for everyone, essentially, for today as the cold front pushed through the state in the overnight hours, mid to upper 60s, Madison up to Wausau and over towards Amory and Baldwin. A little cooler, mid to upper 50s, Oshkosh to Waukesha and along the lakefront. Sunny skies, though, overall today. For Thursday, tomorrow, a warm front briefly pushes through. Cloudy and a chance for showers and storms to start out the day in west-central Wisconsin, starting off with sunshine, then becoming cloudy around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, with a chance for rain coming in the afternoon hours. Then sunny skies during the day for the southern parts of the state, with rain chances coming in the late evening hours. Highs warming back into the 70s for most tomorrow. Again, cooler towards Lake Michigan in the mid to upper 60s over there. But overall, it does look either at or above average for at least tomorrow. Friday, a chance for showers for most for the day, but the day should end up on a dry note. Not really looking for a chance for rain in the southwestern parts of the state, Richland Center and south of there. Cooling as well as another cold front comes in for Friday, mid to low 60s for the southern half of the state. Upper 50s or around about 60, Wausau over to Baldwin. And then a quick look at the weekend, sunny skies and warmer for most, back into the mid to low 70s, and isolated rain shower potential around Wisconsin Rapids Sunday afternoon.
And then we're looking forward to that Memorial Day weekend forecast that is now not too terribly far away, just over the horizon. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
As always, Jennifer joins us this time every morning with our full Weatherology forecast. Our studio line is 844-967-2789. And as I mentioned, a new, apparently major league professional soccer league is being formed, and Madison may be in line to get one of the teams. It would bring another major league sports team to the state of Wisconsin. There is already one women's major league league. Say that again, Pat. There's one National Women's Soccer League. It's called the National Women's Soccer League. Now there's going to be this new one called the USL Super League. And it initially was going to be what's called a Division II league, which I guess would be like minor league baseball, but is apparently now going to launch with a Division I standing, which puts it on par with the National Women's Soccer League. It will launch in 2024, and Madison could get a team by 2025. It would be owned by the men's team, Forward Madison FC, and it would have the rights to a franchise if certain improvements are made to Bree Stevens Field near downtown Madison, where Forward Madison plays right now. the Madison women's pro soccer team, if it comes to pass, would play in a schedule that runs from August to May with a winter break and feature some top professional players from around the U.S. and around the world, according to a story from J.R. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And so I was certainly noticing on social media yesterday a lot of soccer fans thrilled with the prospect of getting a major league level team in Wisconsin. This USL Super League is expected to initially include teams from Phoenix, Charlotte, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Washington, D.C., Lexington, Kentucky, Spokane, Washington, and Tucson. And it may then expand to Chattanooga, Jacksonville, Oakland, and Indianapolis. All yet to come, but at least there's plans in formation, which would be a real shot in the arm for, again, sports as it continues to draw people to Wisconsin. Another thing that would draw people to Wisconsin would be an infrastructure system that is up to snuff and getting with the times. And that includes more than ever moving people from place to place through passenger rail. And there is a new long-term plan for Wisconsin rail lines put out by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation this week. And the plan says that it could attract up to 250,000 new passengers to train use within a decade, and maybe more than 1.5 million passengers by the year 2050. Now, that, according to a Journal Sentinel story by Molly Beck, would also include proposals to extend passenger rail to 11 more communities in Wisconsin, including the state capital. There is no passenger rail service to Madison proper, but that could change if this plan were to come to fruition. And I have my own personal connections to this, which I'm sure you already heard through the tone of my voice in talking about the way that Scott Walker, Robin Voss, and other Republicans killed the effort to modernize and expand passenger rail in Wisconsin more than a decade ago. In fact, we have to go back even further to the late 1990s. There is something called the West Central Wisconsin Passenger Rail Commission. And it is completely a volunteer ad hoc group that was started by local leaders in Western Wisconsin, business leaders, civic leaders, who recognized you can't pave your way to prosperity. You can't add a fourth lane to I-94, a fifth lane, a sixth lane. At some point, as an area grows, you have to find other ways to move people and to move freight. Imagine how many more trucks would be on the interstates and the highways as population continues to grow. And so this group, starting in the late 90s, I covered them as a reporter for Channel 13 back in the day, as they looked to reestablish passenger rail through the Chippewa Valley. And now we have to go back even further to tell you about something called the 400. The 400 was the original passenger train that ran through Wisconsin from Chicago to St. Paul, to the Union Depot in the Twin Cities there. It was called the 400 because it was a 400-mile trip from Chicago to the cities and vice versa, and it did the 400 miles in 400 minutes, hence the name. It was very well received, but eventually, like many other things, when the automobile really took root after World War II, passenger rail saw a decline. It also saw a decline not just because of reduced consumer demand, but because of artificial pressure that was put on it by the auto companies and by their advocates in road building and things like that. If it had been left up just to the marketplace, it's quite likely that we would still see things like commuter rail, you know, trolleys, and as well as passenger rail between cities that would still be with us today. So folks have known for decades now about the need to modernize our transportation corridors. So that takes us to the early 2000s, when yours truly and others were in the legislature, and plans were being made to expand and modernize the rail system throughout Wisconsin, freight as well as passenger. And plans were made, much like the one that was put out here. And the Obama administration then looked for ways to help fund that. If the state and the local governments could come together and work out plans, the federal government was willing to be a partner as well. and there were plans made to modernize the rail system all throughout Chicago. The rail system throughout Chicago is quite antiquated. Trains have to move very slowly because, again, thanks to budget austerity from politicians, repairs to tracks have been a long time coming. Well, much like the Biden administration is now investing in infrastructure, the Obama administration wanted to do the same thing. So there are all kinds of plans in place. And then along came, you know, the generation of the Tea Party, Scott Walker, the others who know nothing other than a mindset of shrinking government for everybody else but themselves, and who derided these plans as a choo-choo train, and who basically continue to be in the pocket of the big oil companies, and who, again, believe if you add a sixth and a seventh lane to the interstate, that somehow that will solve all your problems. When all it does is it kicks the can down the road, and quite literally, and that eventually somebody else is going to end up doing the work that you should have done, and it's going to cost more. And in fact, we have to go back again to one of my first bits of political experience was as an intern in the Minnesota legislature. And this was, you know, in middle school, early high school, where I got to spend, you know, a day a week in the state capitol in my legislator's office and then writing up, you know, reports for my teachers about the issues that were being discussed and things like that. So you see where the whole political nerd thing goes way, way back. Well, Republicans took over the Minnesota legislature in 1978. And so one of the first things they did in 1979 was they scrapped plans being made by Democrats for commuter rail through and around the Twin Cities. A lot of us said at the time, it's going to come. It's just going to cost more later on. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. The Twin Cities now has commuter rail. It does have lines that are extending deeper into the suburbs and the exurbs, and it's being well received, but it could have been done a long time ago and for less. But there's a certain political class, if you will, that is only looking out for themselves and in the short term and is willing to pass the buck on to future generations. And that's how we got to where we are now, with everything from what led to the bipartisan infrastructure bill to the debt ceiling debate that we have now to the shared revenue crisis that we have in the legislature. Is that because for years and even decades, people who believe only in budget austerity and shrinking government have been instead shirking their responsibilities to those of us in the here and now and to our children and our grandchildren, and are leaving it for others to have to pay for and make these improvements down the road. They are happy to go to the schools and drive on the roads that their parents and grandparents built for them, but they haven't been willing to build anything for the people who are coming after them. So I salute the Department of Transportation for making these plans for rail. We've seen plans like this before, but it's only until enough people, especially at election time, decide to embrace the people who want to do the work, spend the funds, and get the job done, that we will have the things that we make these plans for, these things that we need. But they need more than plans, they need more than dollars, they need commitment, and they need leadership from the people who are in our legislature and other elected offices. Speaking of elected offices, State Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard is coming up next to talk about her grassroots tour about legalizing cannabis in Wisconsin. That's coming up after this break. You're up north.
If you're hanging out in Waukesha, it's 101.1 FM. In southeastern Wisconsin, it's 5:40 a.m. And all around the world on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says he's cutting short an international trip so he can get back to focus on negotiations to raise the nation's debt ceiling.
It's disappointing that our discussions in the Congressional Republicans have not been willing to discuss raising revenues, but the policy differences between the parties should not stop Congress from avoiding default.
The Republican-controlled North Carolina legislature has overridden the Democratic governor's veto of a bill that bans abortion after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Republican State Representative Kristen Baker.
Senate Bill 20 makes medical sense. And Senate Bill 20
is common sense.
Former Google CEO Eric Schmidt tells the BBC artificial intelligence has the potential to cause serious problems.
It's so easy now to create fake community, a fake site, a fake identity, and flood it with visual images and so forth. And even if all you do is suppress the vote, your candidate can win. This is really bad for democracy.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turner at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Horizon Healthcare helps individuals recover from the devastating effects of mental illness and drug dependency. They're currently seeking a first shift office administrative assistant to join their Waukesha team. Qualifications include a high school diploma and basic computer skills. Starting pay is $18 per hour. Contact Tiffany Sanchez now at 414-841-2972. That's 414-841-2972. Join the Horizon Healthcare team today. Contact Tiffany Sanchez at 414-841-2972.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South 1st Street, Milwaukee.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
And I am joined by the Senate Democratic Leader, Melissa Agard, who's going to be talking about marijuana legalization and a tour that she's doing around the state. We'll hit a couple of other matters in the legislature since the state budget is still very much a work in progress, and work I would even put in quotation marks given some of the things that are happening in the Joint Finance Committee. But again, we'll get into all that with Senator Agard. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Pat. It's great to be here.
Oh, we appreciate it so much. Now, you have started this tour around the state about a topic that we've discussed quite a bit here on the program, and that is how Wisconsin is missing out in terms of basically becoming an island when it comes to marijuana legalization. And that, you know, there are many different facets to look at this, either from a health standpoint, a public demand standpoint, but also from a fiscal standpoint. When you start each of these tours, and you've done Wauwatosa and Platteville, you've got Eau Claire and Wausau coming up. When you start each of these with your introductory remarks, what do you like to emphasize first?
Well, really, we know that prohibition did not work when it came to alcohol. It did not work in Wisconsin when it came to margarine, and it is not working when it comes to cannabis. And because of the fact that we are a prohibitionist state, we are less safe. We are less prosperous, and we are less free. And as Michigan and Illinois have legalized for responsible adult usage, and Minnesota is right on the knife's edge of being able to pass a bill with the governor holding a pen in his hand saying, bring it to me. We literally, as you mentioned, are an island of prohibition. And we also know that here in Wisconsin, even before Minnesota legalizes, that 50% of the adults over the age of 21 in Wisconsin live within 75 minutes of a legal dispensary. When I was driving up to Green Bay for the very first stop on my grassroots tour, I counted the billboards as I started entering the Fox River Valley. And for those of us that are true Wisconsinites, we know, you know, when you're getting to that neck of the woods, because the billboards become fast and furious along the highway. They used to all be car dealerships. And now I would say about a third of them are cannabis billboards telling folks to keep driving to the UP where they can buy legal weed. And that's indicative of the challenges that we're facing as a state, because people are taking their hard-earned tax dollars and their valuable time to travel to other states to purchase legally regulated cannabis and then bringing it illegally back into Wisconsin. So that's really how we start the conversations. And, you know, they are robust. People have lots of questions, but it is clear that Wisconsinites are ready, regardless of political flavor. And they're frustrated by the lack of inaction by the Republicans and the Wisconsin state legislature.
And that is something that I, again, I think needs to be emphasized repeatedly, that this is not some kind of a well out of the mainstream, you know, fringe issue. This issue is one that survey after survey shows has bipartisan support still, correct?
That's right. We know that actually in Wisconsin, two-thirds of the people of the state of Wisconsin support responsible adult usage. Less than 10% are prohibitionists. And in fact, the majority of Republicans now in Wisconsin support full legalization of cannabis for responsible adult usage. And that trend line is continuing to go up. So the numbers are going to continue to rise. We keep a map in my office of the United States. And in that map, we have it color coded for responsible adult usage, cannabis legislation, medicinal cannabis legislation, and prohibitionist states. And that map is getting greener and greener by the month. And there are less and less states with no color. Wisconsin is one of very few. And this is an example, yet another example, of many policies in Wisconsin where we are falling behind because my Republican colleagues are tone deaf to the will of the people across the state of Wisconsin. Folks aren't just picking, the legislators in the Capitol building are not just picking on this policy. I think a lot of people, when I go to these grassroots tours and meet with business owners and community leaders and, you know, thought leaders, they feel like, why not this? And the fact of the matter is there are a number of policies that my Republican colleagues are not moving forward on that are wildly popular with the people of the state of Wisconsin. And it's clear that the will of the people is not being represented by the current makeup of the legislature.
And because of that, because of Republicans not wanting to move forward on many different topic areas that have broad public support, this question might be a little unfair just speaking solely on legalized marijuana, but does Republican leadership give any kind of a reason? Is there any kind of political strategy or anything behind it? Or have they not really responded to the question of why they oppose something that two-thirds of their constituents want?
So, you know, I think that every single one of them has a different answer as to why it's not moving forward. And the answer can change depending on the season for each individual person. If we knew what the concern was that their caucus had, we could address that with thoughtful legislation. Like I said, prohibition or the lack of legislation is not making our communities safer. That is, I think, one of the most basic tenets of government, is to make sure that our communities are safe and that people can be prosperous and that we're honoring their freedoms and liberties. And because of the lack of inaction by my Republican colleagues, and I would say it's not even a lack of action, they're literally putting roadblocks up, we aren't able to cross that finish line. And that is really very frustrating for me because I'm a problem solver. I believe that if we sit down at the table and we can identify a problem, we can come up with solutions. And it might be difficult and it might take a while, but we can come up with those solutions. But when they continue to kind of change the mark, the reason why we are not able to even bring this bill forward for a public hearing in the Capitol building, it makes it really hard for us to move the ball forward. That's why, you know, frankly, I am a strong believer in the fact that next year in 2024, we're going to have a real opportunity to change the faces of legislature and make sure that the people are who are here in the Capitol building are actually doing the work of their constituents and for their constituents.
We're talking with State Senator Melissa Agard, the Senate Democratic leader here on Up North News Radio, about her grassroots tour, about the current landscape of cannabis policy in Wisconsin. The tour includes stops in Eau Claire on May 25th at the Ellie Phillips Public Library, and then June 1st in Wausau at the Marathon County Public Library. In both cases, runs from 4:30 to 5:30. Senator, we talked about the remarks made in joint finance by one of the co-chairs, Assembly Representative Mark Bourne, who was dismissive to the point of arrogance about how, well, the Democratic agenda must be just to spend money and smoke weed. And they talked about how, you know, nobody's asking them to do this. I happen to think that means they're living, you know, in their own partisan bubble, and that, well, we know about two-thirds support statewide. Do you feel like if we went into these, you know, red districts, and I know public opinion surveys don't come cheap, but if you went into some of these Republican-led districts, do you feel like you would see similar numbers of public support for legalized marijuana?
I know by fact that the majority of Republicans in Wisconsin support responsible adult usage and support government honoring their freedoms and liberties. They support making sure that Wisconsin is a safer place and is a place where small businesses and main streets can thrive. And because the Republicans in the Capitol building appear to be suffering from reefer madness and misinformation, we're not able to march forward. And that is really frustrating. If we were able to bring this bill to the floor in both houses right now, I'm confident it would pass. But it's because of the message of leadership that this is not a priority of theirs, that it is not moving forward. Governor Evers would sign it. He has really grown in his position when it comes to cannabis policy in Wisconsin. And President Biden has really grown when it comes to cannabis policy at the national level. It's not a matter of if this is going to happen. It's going to matter of when it's going to happen and if it's going to be a states' rights policy or a national policy.
What would be the fiscal impact, generally speaking, in Wisconsin? What are we missing out on when people go to Michigan, Illinois, eventually to Minnesota? And is that something that Democrats in the legislature or the governor have already said could be applied to a specific part of the budget? Or are we just talking about general revenue? What do you tell folks on this grassroots tour about the fiscal implications?
Well, certainly the fiscal implications are important. And, you know, my understanding is the Republican Party wants to be the fiscal watchdogs for the state of Wisconsin. So the fact that they are holding up, quite frankly, $160, $200 million of tax revenue to the state of Wisconsin, that's not counting the fiscal benefits, the robust fiscal benefits that could be attached to business owners saved by local governments, money saved through the criminal justice system. This does have real impacts on the state of Wisconsin. We know that the state of Illinois is earning tens of millions of dollars off of people in Wisconsin who are driving over there. That is going to their tax base. And very similar numbers are probably in Michigan and will be in Minnesota. We also know that it's important for us to realize this isn't just a fiscal issue here, that it is a moral issue, and that our communities will be more safe with regulation and licensing. And because we aren't having these conversations, Wisconsin is less safe. They are causing our state to be more dangerous for our kids and our communities.
In the couple of minutes we have left, let's talk a bit about the state budget process that is in the Joint Finance Committee right now, of course, dominated by Republicans. And one of the very first things they did in that committee was strip out more than 500 different proposals that Governor Tony Evers put in his plan. We've obviously covered some. You can't possibly hit them all. But from your standpoint as Senate Democratic leader, what have you either received the most feedback on, or what do you see as some of the most damaging items that were struck out?
Yeah, so I mean, the list is long, right? Over 500 provisions thrown out. But we know, based on the joint finance hearings around the state, as well as contacts that people made directly to the legislators, that funding our public schools, addressing the childcare crisis in the state of Wisconsin, and protecting our environment are paramount to be able to move forward. We are losing our kids. We're exporting them to other states at really large rates. That's not something that we should be proud of. And we're having a really hard time recruiting people to come to the state of Wisconsin. If we can't get this right, we are not going to be able to fix our employment crisis, the lack of employees for the number of jobs that we have in the state of Wisconsin. We need to make sure our schools are funded, that our environment is protected, and that we have safe places for our babies to be able to go so people can go.
And then our last subject will just be on something I mentioned earlier this morning, a brand new Republican-sponsored bill that is supposedly meant to address PFAS, but it certainly reads to me like a laundry list of mandates that they're putting on the Department of Natural Resources, and does not appear to be actually holding responsible the people who have been contaminating the water. Now, I know the bill, you know, just came out. You haven't had a chance to review it very much yet, but let me ask it under the frame of whether you have any optimism that the Republican majority will do anything seriously to increase the way that we address, clean up, and prevent future PFAS contamination.
You know, water is life, as far as I'm concerned, and whether it's PFAS or lead contaminated groundwater, we know that we need to do better here in the state of Wisconsin. And it is clear that the Republicans understand that something needs to happen here, but they are not solving the problem for the ordinary people. In fact, over and over again, it feels as if they are putting shields up for corporations to not be held accountable and not providing real relief for our local governments and for our families. We need to do this in a comprehensive way. And if there are not real dollars attached to this, and there are not real teeth in holding people accountable and preventing continued PFAS contamination in Wisconsin, we're not doing right for our friends and neighbors across the state.
State Senator Melissa Agard, Senate Democratic leader, whose grassroots tour will be stopping in Eau Claire May 25th and Wausau on June 1st. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you spending a little bit with us today.
Thank you.
No, thank you, please. And we will be back with Todd Alba, the conveniently named Todd Alba Show, next. You're up north.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's HOLTEBECK.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Weather brought to you by Takariyami Yagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot, or call us at 262-278-6590.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 59. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows level off around 40. Highs level off around 72. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 65. Friday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. 70, mainly sunny skies and calm. Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
It's really something for a control freak like me to give up control of anything, but sometimes I do for the bumper music that Mr. Zommers will pick out for Todd Alba.
Yeah.
What do we have now? Because it's usually quite passive aggressive. What have you got this time, Eric?
Oh, it's not this time. It's just Salvadoreña by Los Hermanos Flores. Just some cumbia, some Salvadoran cumbia, something that Todd enjoys.
Todd, I did not enjoy you. You like this?
Well, much like I never lived in Central America. Like, you lived in the Caribbean for what, 2 or 3 years at one point?
3 years, yeah.
3 years. I've made 39 treks over 25 plus years to El Salvador, and
really.
So, yeah, it's kind of like a second home to me, and it started with our foreign exchange student in college, and then just became a passionate place to go. That's how I got into coffee, meeting all these coffee farmers and sourcing coffee directly from the farms in El Salvador. So, yeah, so I've really learned to enjoy Central America and El Salvador in particular, and so cumbias are huge, and so we were talking about this whole border issue on Monday when we did the show from Richland Center down at WRCE. And so, Mistress, I mentioned that, you know, if you just, like we've talked about on your show, Pat, and other places, it doesn't matter whether it's El Salvador or whether it's up north or whether it's in an urban area in Wisconsin, if you just sit and have a beverage and listen to the music and enjoy an evening with someone, it turns out we're all pretty much alike, you know. And so we use some of that music, and thus Mr. Zommers dialed it up.
That was great. And yes, I could not agree more that if more people could get out of their bubbles and realize that, you know, people that they either look down on or they eye with suspicion are just like any of our other neighbors, if you could just have coffee with them or have a beer, you'd be able to see the problems and anxieties that they have, and they could see the same in you. Now, El Salvador really catches my attention because when we talk about the migrants at the southern border, and folks who don't look into the issue rather simplistically think it's nothing but Mexicans. But in fact, there's a lot of folks from Central America, even South America, Venezuela, that are trying to make their way up. El Salvador is really high up on that list because things are not well there with the government and the economy, that at least from what I see as a news consumer. So you, as somebody with a better connection, can maybe talk a bit more about that.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up. It is a passion of mine, and it's super interesting. And we probably don't have time to go into the whole thing deeply today, but kind of the 30,000 foot level is, you're right. I mean, there was a civil war there that killed over 75,000 people in the late 80s and early 90s. First time I went there, interestingly, was we landed 4 days or 3 days before they signed the peace accords in 92. And now, the last time I was there, this is the longest I've gone because of the pandemic, 4 years since I've been there last. It's a very different country. And certainly democracy has taken hold there. However, the latest guy to be, or latest person to be elected president, I believe going on 3 years ago, was Nayib Bukele, a U.S. educated guy in his late 30s when he got elected president, right around 40 now. And he's kind of taken this authoritarian Trump approach. He's very popular. He wears a leather jacket, a baseball cap. He's young. He's hip. He says, I'm not going to do things. He uses Twitter all the time, just like Trump, kind of a Trump acolyte, but he's cool about it. And the thing that Bukele has done is he's invested money and made life for average Salvadorans much better. Infrastructure's better.
completely forgetting human rights, but locked up all these gang members, and now you can just say, well, this person's a gang member, they get locked up, no way to, you know, no process for it. But things have gotten better. And thus, to your point, Pat, sorry to finally get around to it, is that now with this newest push of migration north, Salvadorans are one of the lowest people in this new batch because things have improved. And what we talked about Monday, and you might be able to speak about this in the Caribbean, I know, not quite the same thing, but most people, given the choice, hey, do you want to go live in the U.S. or stay in your home country? Most people say, you know, I love my country. It's just that because of gangs, poverty, jobs, threats, and abuse to women, they want to come to the U.S. And so it's a very interesting topic, and I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about it.
Well, and it also brings up some of the balances, the balancing acts that any society has to do. One man's charismatic leadership could be another man's authoritarianism.
Right, right.
One man's law and order could be, you know, another man's police state. And that, you know, there's no clear line of distinction as to when that somebody has crossed over. That's for each electorate to decide, but it's also for each economy to decide. And people do vote with their feet as well as with their ballots. And so it's encouraging to hear that after all those years of civil war and strife, that there is at least a form of democracy that is taking root. But democracy, as we know, is so slow and messy, even although it's the best system to get capitalism started rather than, you know, a state-sponsored economy, takes a while. And that means people are going to continue to emigrate for a while before things stabilize out there. But I certainly hope things go well, and I really appreciate your insight on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you might have heard El Salvador is the first country to also include now Bitcoin as part of their national currency. So El Salvador, their national currency is the U.S. dollar and Bitcoin. And there was a really interesting 60-minute story a few months back. If you dial it up, it's a gamble. It's a gamble. But so far,
yes, it is.
But so far, Nayib is. I mean, he has like a 90% approval rating right now in El Salvador. It's ridiculous.
Okay. All right. While we're on the subject of other countries, we've turned into the global report here on Up North News Radio.
Yes.
Aaron pointed out that a caller mentioned we were talking earlier about Denmark, Wisconsin, and all these other places. Wanted to mention one of the things I missed in the history lesson, but I went back and confirmed that this is the day that the Constitution of Norway was signed, officially separating from Denmark. Oh. Now, not Denmark, Wisconsin. This is actually Denmark, right, the country. But that they're because I didn't know if anybody had ever actually assembled, you know, like the definitive list of all the place names in Wisconsin that are named after other places, you know, your New Londons, New Berlins, right, and things like that. So we just thought that was interesting. So we've talked about Norway and Denmark today. Yeah. We've talked about El Salvador. This is great.
And little old Wisconsin. But isn't it interesting, Pat? I mean, I'm sure you, in your travels and in your jobs as well, you find people from other countries, whether it's in our universities, the foreign exchange students, in our high schools. These are I'm such a big believer in foreign exchange programs, whether it's at high school or college level, because again, it's bringing people from other countries into our predominantly white communities, not all, but most of them in Wisconsin, and you learn something about yourself. At least we did in our family. I don't say this lightly, I'm a different person today because of that experience.
Yes, without a doubt. And my wife, she went to Reidsville High School, little community in Manitowoc County. Yep. And it was always so unique when a foreign exchange student would come, but they learned so much more, made lifelong friends. We went to go visit one in Spain at one point. We had a foreign exchange daughter from Russia. The ties are long-lasting. And I cannot recommend enough. If you can't travel the world, then at least be open to meeting people from elsewhere around the world, starting with whatever foreign exchange student comes to your town next.
Absolutely.
Mr. Alba, this has been a far more serious discussion than I ever meant. I will not let it happen again.
All right, very good.
I appreciate it just the same, and look forward to joining you on your show in a bit, and hope you have a great day.
You as well. See you soon, Pat. Thank you.
All right, and that'll do it for us on this Wednesday. Let's see, tomorrow we will have Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And then on Friday, State Representative Francesca Hong, who's on a national list of top 10 young leaders. We'll tell you about that and much more coming up this week yet on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Wrightlaw. Have a great day.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane sells flights of Himalayan sea salt, raw sugar flights, local raw honey, and just in time for summer, a variety of salt rubs for meat and grilling. Not sure how to use the products in your own kitchen? Check out Mary Jane's YouTube channel for ideas and recipes. Elevate your cooking game at Mary Jane's Hemp Shop, 335 West Main Street, Waukesha, or online at maryjanespantry.shop.
It's time to have some fun and make a difference, Waukesha County. Attend the 2023 Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha Dream Builders Gala on June 9th at 6 p.m. in the Domenica Park neighborhood. Help celebrate the accomplishments of last year while helping to create, preserve, and promote affordable housing in our area. Enjoy an upscale barbecue, live entertainment, and the chance to make a real difference in the lives of local families. Register now at HabitatWaukesha.org/events. That's HabitatWaukesha.org/events. Let's build a brighter future together.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.